is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We get a people what they want.
Jalen Rose, who is joining us on this program in just minutes?
The Butcher coming. Benny the Butcher of Griselda family, BSF, will be here joining Jalen and Jacoby.
He is the senior Bills correspondent of Jalen and Jacoby. I'm not sure he knows that yet, but we will tell him in just minutes. Stay tuned for that. But we start the show with Kyrie Irving. We've been talking about him for months and his vaccination status, and he took to IG Live, so we heard his stance from him. Let's listen to a sample.
Don't believe that I'm retiring. Don't believe that, you know, I'm going to give up this game for a vaccine mandate or staying unvaccinated. Don't believe any of that shit. Like really be aware. You know, what would you do? You know, if you felt uncomfortable going into the season when you were promised that you would have exemptions or that you didn't have to be forced to get the vaccine. You know, this wasn't an issue before the season started. This wasn't something that I foresaw coming, where I prepared for it, and you know, I had a chance to strategize on what was going to be best for me and my family. I came into the season thinking that I was just going to be able to play ball.
Jalen, what do you think about hearing it from Kyrie about Kyrie?
So this topic, Jacoby, in particular for Black people, I'm going to just cut right to the chase. So, and rightfully so, in the United States of America, we've gained and garnered a distrust for a lot of public service officials, in particular law enforcement and the medical profession. So I understand, just off muscle memory and off of our history, there are a lot of us that are really hesitant as it relates to things we hear and learn about with science and medicine and things of that nature. I had a grandfather, Big Daddy, who didn't want to go to a hospital. And one of his reasons why is, at a time he grew up in the United States of America, his relationship was clearly different with the people in the hospital that did not look like him. But this is what I want to say about this topic. Kyrie Irving is not a victim either way. He's not being attacked either way. If he chooses not to get vaccinated, and again, that's his choice, he will still get 50% of his salary this year, which is around $18 million, and he remains unvaccinated, and that's okay. But whether he's vaccinated or unvaccinated, in this case, being unvaccinated does not make him a hero. Like, in so many cases, what we end up doing is, and rightfully so, when you've been a marginalized community, you like to see people rage against the machine. And so in this case, it seems like he's raging against corporate America by not getting vaccinated and taking that stance, which he has the right to take. And because he's taking that stance, he's allowed to keep that stance. But I don't look at it like when Colin Kaepernick took a knee before a football game during the national anthem, or like what Muhammad Ali did, the shoulders of the giants I stand on in front of me, we're conflating the scenarios. He's not a victim. He's not forced to be vaccinated. How about this, Jacoby? I like traveling abroad. I can't go without a passport. That's just the rule. It has nothing to do with me individually. That's just a standard rule. He works for a company, in this case, the NBA or the Nets, that requires him to be vaccinated in order to do his job. And like so very many, he has to make the tough decision. Is he going to get vaccinated either because he feels like it's the right thing health-wise to do, or if he feels like it's something he should do because he wants to protect the well-being of his job and or his career? And a lot of people have been forced to make that decision. But in this case, he's not a poverty-stricken person that decides whether to take it or not, and now he's a hero. It's his choice. I support his choice. He's a fantastic, terrific, wonderful basketball player. I watched all 20 minutes of his IG live, and I personally like Kyrie a lot. But in this case, anybody that feels like right now your course of action is not to be vaccinated, again, that's your choice. And therefore, you're choosing to deal with the consequences to come with it. And in this case, it's not be able to play basketball.
And there is the financial consequences as well. We always say follow the money. And yes, he even if he doesn't play, he will get half his salary, which is about $18, $17 million. But he's also giving up $17 or $18 million. And here's what he said about those implications.
Well, you're going to lose out on money and you're going to lose out on this. Like, so what? It's not about the money, baby. It's not always about the money. It's about choosing what's best for you. You think I really want to lose money? You think I really want to give up on my dream to go after a championship?
Jalen, after watching this IG live, I sympathize a little bit more with Kyrie Irving. It was good to hear from him. I don't agree with his decision not to get vaccinated for health reasons and money reasons and basketball reasons. But after hearing it from his voice, I sympathize with him a little bit more. And I feel like after watching this, that he will get vaccinated at some point this season. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think in a lot of ways, he hedged his bet, so to speak, and acknowledged that while he's still not currently vaccinated, that he's not against being vaccinated. And that's my point about perpetuating a conversation about whether somebody should or shouldn't be vaccinated. You're not raging against the machine if you're not vaccinated. I just want to make sure I stress that. You're raging against science is actually what you're doing. This is not a political thing, and not being vaccinated doesn't make you more or less conscious. Like, not being vaccinated is not an issue of your civil consciousness. Those are different topics. This is not something that's political. This is something that's scientific. And again, if he chooses not to do it, which he currently hasn't, it's his choice. But I believe at some point he will. But this is what I also want to say that's extremely important. So now he's fostered a conversation because he's on a contending team that plays in New York and not going to be able to participate. And it ain't just us in the media. I got to tell you guys something. And it ain't just fans. People bet on this stuff. And that's how people make their salaries in the NBA also. So it's bigger than just like, you know, we're caring about him in particular. He's an important dynamic player. But here's what I want to also stress. For those who have already gotten vaccinated, I need y'all to stop cheerleading those who choose not to get vaccinated. And in this case, for example, if he does choose to then get vaccinated, because we are public figures, Jacoby, and people do listen to what we have to say, that's why we're endorsers. That's why we sell jerseys. That's why we sell products. That's why we do speaking engagements as public figures. It's just unfortunate the trail of people that cheers and celebrates him not getting vaccinated. And then if and when he does, it's almost like he's a hero that had to cave into the machine in order to go back to work. But what about all of the people that you just sold that I'm not going to do it until I learn more, but then you go do it? They don't get the opportunity to make $35 million a year. And I got to also say something about this. There's nothing more important to me than my faith and my sanity and my integrity. But we all have to do what's right to make decisions to feed our family and be responsible. In particular, if you're a part of a team or if you're a part of a family. You can't just move, David Jacoby. You're a husband with three kids. You can't just move and only think about you. That's how it works with family. That's how it works with team.
Well, we will see what happens. Both Jalen and I think that eventually he will be vaccinated, but we'll keep an eye on that. But in a hypothetical world in which he is not vaccinated, let's just take a look at this Nets roster. Because with or without Kyrie Irving, I believe this is the best team in the Eastern Conference. And just to refresh your memory, they have Patty Mills. They're also doing their sort of senior citizen lineup the way the Lakers did. They got Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, Paul Millsap, and an exciting rookie in Cam Thomas. In my mind, this is the best team in the Eastern Conference. I know you disagree. Who do you think are the class of the Eastern Conference?
So the good thing is that they have Kevin Durant and James Harden, and both of those guys are going to be crazy dynamic. Shout to Patty Mills, who shot down Team USA this offseason. And you mentioned Cam Thomas, who's going to light it up as a rookie. I'm happy to see Bruce Brown in the starting lineup. Big shout to LaMarcus Aldridge for being back into the league, but let's not ignore Jacoby while LaMarcus Aldridge retired and how old he is at this point of his career and the strengths of his game offensively. A bucket in particular on the left side, turnaround jumpers get you dizzy. Signature move, should be actually going to the Hall of Fame. Love his game, points and boards, but at this point of his career, not a defender of the rim. And who's going to slow down Giannis? Who, as a matter of fact, put their lineup back up there again.
I'm so tired of you doing this. Okay. Who's going to slow down KD? I'm so tired of it. Who's going to slow down Giannis? If no one can slow down Giannis. No one can slow down James Harden. No one can slow down KD. They're some of the best players in the league.
I got another team for you, family. It's because, like, we underestimate what Giannis, Middleton, and Drew Holiday did this past season, right? LaMarcus Aldridge, Paul Millsap, and Blake Griffin. Like, are any of those guys 6'10"? No. Like, who's going to block shots? Who's going to get rebounds in traffic? Who's going to catch lobs? Like Jacoby. What'd you say?
Claxton.
I like the young fella Claxton. I really do. He's going to get stronger. He's a really good athlete that's a rim runner and a shot blocker, but he doesn't have the experience yet to go against some of the best bigs in the playoffs. You can't put him on Bam Adebayo late in games and anticipate either he's going to slow him down or not get in foul trouble just yet at this point of his career. Did you see what the Heat did this offseason?
Sure
they
did.
Just won the East a couple of years ago. They have Jimmy Butler. They have Bam Adebayo. They re-signed Duncan Robinson. Tyler Hero's going to play better this year. And let me teach everybody something about the championship pedigree that takes place with the Miami Mafia. The Heat have a roster full of players that just won the East a couple of years ago, led by Bam and Jimmy Butler. But look at everybody else that they added. Markieff Morris won a championship with the Lakers. How about teams that just won the East other than the Heat? Kyle Lowry from the Raptors. PJ Tucker from the Bucks. Don't underestimate the other teams in the East, Jacoby, just because you understand KD and James Harden are playing. They're going to need Kyrie Irving, in my opinion, to get past those two squads in particular.
From the Miami Mafia to the Bills Mafia. Jalen, who's joining us on the program in
the
mere seconds?
Coming. The Butcher coming. Black Soprano family's own. Benny the Butcher of Griselda joins us next.
Jalen and Jacoby is brought to you by Peloton Tread. Run faster and get stronger like never before.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here at Pier 17, the Seaport in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, who is joining us on the program
it's
right now?
It's a family affair. Griselda's own. And our Bills correspondent, Benny the Butcher, has returned to spit hot fire for our audience. Appreciate
yes, sir.
Your family joining us.
Yes, sir. Checking in, guys. You know, Benny the Butcher, Buffalo Bills correspondent here, just tapping in. How you boys doing?
You're our senior Bills correspondent. We gave
Ooh,
you an elevated
senior.
Title, senior Bills correspondent.
Senior.
Now, the Bills were founded in 1960, and they have won exactly zero Super Bowls since that date. Is this the year, senior Bills correspondent, Benny the Butcher?
I would like to think so. You know, the guys, they know where they at as a team, and the coach, he know where they at as a team, and I'm just here to support them. But I hope this the year. I don't want to say too much and, you know what I'm saying, and put too much on the fellas. You know, we taking it a game at a time. But, man, the talk around the league and the talk around the city is, I think this is the year, man. It should be the year, man. We sturdy. We definitely a Super Bowl contender.
So I don't have to tell you, because you're at every home game. You guys had to go to Kansas City and lost in the playoffs last year to the Chiefs. Mm. Who do you think this year poses the biggest threat in the AFC?
I would have to say a guy like Justin Herbert with the Chargers, because you know, we seen Lamar, you know, we seen Kansas City, we seen a lot of these guys, but you know, we're going to have to deal with that guy sooner or later. So man, shout out to the Chargers, they balling, but I'm worried about them Chargers.
See, now, Benny, I would have to say Lamar Jackson, just what he can do individually on the football field. Why don't you consider the Ravens and Lamar Jackson a bigger threat than the Chargers?
Because we beat them last year, even though I know they added pieces and they understand it. But, you know, so we're the team to beat for them, and they not the team to beat for us. So if we lose to them, we're moving backwards. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? Yes, sir.
That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. Are going to the Super Bowl. Have you already booked your flights to L.A.? You got some shows already lined up?
I need to. I got a nice little cozy apartment out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, I mean, I need to start booking some shows and some walkthroughs and start making parade arrangements. No, but man, I just hope the guys focus, man. We seem like a Super Bowl contender. I just want to take it one game at a time and just, you know, support the team in any way I could.
So we want you to be our Senior Bills correspondent. So we're going to need some things from you. We need you to film some videos from the tailgates. You know what I mean? We need you to do some hits, some live hits from outside the stadium. Because we want you to be our Diana Rossini. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to be our Senior Bills correspondent. You got us?
I got you. I even told Doc. I said, Doc, you got to get me on the field. You know what I'm saying? Especially when I let him know, like, man, I'm the Senior Bills correspondent. Doc, you got to get me down there on that field. So.
Done. And by the way, while we talk so much about you guys' offense, the defense has been crazy. So I want to make sure I shout them out and their coordinator, Leslie Frazier. But I want to ask you a question about the NBA. Mm-hmm. Who do people from Buffalo, which NBA team do you guys root for?
A lot of guys from Buffalo fall in love with the players, so whatever player they like. But me, I'm so territorial. I'm going Knicks or Nets, man. You know what I mean? I've been a Knicks fan for a long, long time, since like the 90s, the John Stockton era. That always been my team. So I'm riding with the home state. I'm riding with the Knicks. You know what I'm saying? Got to.
What do you think about Kyrie Irving's not being available to the Nets because of his reluctance to get a vaccine?
To be honest with you, I feel like he should take the vaccine. You know what I mean? I understand, you know, it's everybody's choice. But once you're involved in certain things that affects other people, you know what I mean? It's like, it's almost not your decision. Everybody else made the sacrifice. As a teammate, you kind of should make the sacrifice and show your teammates, like, you know, where you at with them, or what's your dedication to the team this season. I know, you know, I had to take the vaccine, you know what I'm saying, for reasons that affect other people. So I went along and done that. But, you know what I mean, like, I'm pretty sure Kyrie, he has his reasons. But, you know, and I want to see him on the court. I want to see those guys working as a trilogy, you know what I'm saying, as a triple. You know what I mean, I want to see that. The world want to see that. So, Kyrie, take the jab. Come on, coach, take the jab.
And thank you for being real, and thank you for your leadership and not skirting around that question, because being a part of a team like you are, Griselda, but y'all also family, and there's certain sacrifices you got to make for your brother. That's exactly. Including staying out of trouble, keeping your nose clean, getting ready for the show, coming to rehearsal, because we all got goals. So how do you think it may play out if their championship goals get derailed because he decided not to take the jab?
Exactly. You know, other guys might look at that like, man, you know, he's not dedicated, or you know how guys going to look at that. You've been in the locker room before. Mm-hmm. You know, people going to look at that and they're going to feel some type of way. So, you know, as a leader, it would just behoove him to just go on and do it and, you know, and just move on with it, especially to get them checks. He will not get paid if he's not on that court. So,
facts, you know, on facts. He'll cost like $18 million.
Ooh, 17 or 18 million. I'm about to dress up like Kyrie.
I know what I'm doing for Halloween. So I got a package of some of this gear from you and your team, and I really appreciate that. Nice. You also have the official Bills Mafia anthem out. How does it feel to be officially embraced by the team that you grew up rooting for?
Family. It's all family. The way the organization treats me, the way the players I come across treat me, it's just family. It's like one of my biggest dreams come true. And I did an interview with the Bills, and they asked me, like, what's your biggest dream? I said, as far as the Bills, I said, they already came true. Next dog got to get me on that field. That's the only thing left. But shout out to the whole Buffalo Bills organization, man. They just show so much love. Outside of playing great, they do so well with the community things that they do, man. And I love them for that.
I do too, and I appreciated that, getting a chance to go to a game. It's one thing to like hear about the fans and see the atmosphere on TV, but it was totally different seeing it up close, watching it from Conway Suite, knowing you was down on the field and stuff like that. I appreciate how they genuinely embraced you guys, and also the gear is fly. Like, I got a couple of dope hoodies that you guys helped design. So talk about your passion for creativity. Like, it's one thing to like be a terrific artist and spit crazy bars, but you guys also are really creative, including the sweater that you're rocking right now.
Right, man. You know, it's just that, you know, I have a eye for things and an ear for things, and really, man, shout out my girl Kat helps me tremendously. She helped me design things. She helped me put it together. So with me and Kat, Scruff Guy, Club Bum, and a couple other artists that I work with, man, we just a good team. And Kat, she really bring a lot of my ideas to life. And she, you know, I'm busy doing music and everything. I just tell her what I want, and then she come back with it, and it's just like more than what I want. And I love it. I love bringing an idea to a canvas, man. And I thank everybody for supporting it, man. I see y'all rocking it. That you got that Buffalo Copper on, Jacoby. That you looking good. I see you go cold. With the black jacket with cold. The black. I see what you're doing.
I see
what
you're doing. I got you.
I see you.
So I jumped off of a cooler onto a folding table, and I've got a lot of flack saying that like it wasn't really going through a table. What are your thoughts on this controversy?
You done that. You landed that. And I'm saying, I could say, because you know the Bills, you know the organization, they don't stand behind that. You know, that's a Bills Mafia thing. So you got to be careful. That's why it's no jumping through tables in the Bills Mafia video, because they like, you know, we can't do that. So I seen you do it. I never jumped through a table, so you beat me to it. So thumbs up to you. You did that. You could have went a little bit more, but you did that.
Oh, come on now. Oh, see, I was feeling good about myself. And then you could have. Right after he said, I never jumped through a table, he going to critique my table jumping. Let me see you jump through a table before you're going to talk about what I could have done, all right?
You know what? If we go to the Super Bowl, I'm jumping off a table. Jumping through a table. I'm jumping through a table.
You know we recording this, right? You know we recording this, right?
You can play this back. I'm jumping through a table, gladly. Yes.
See, the beauty about having you on our show is not only are you a season ticket holder, you 10 toes down with the Bills Mafia, you spit crazy bars, but also you're a member of the Black Soprano family. You know, sir. And the one thing we appreciated when we were in Buffalo is every MC that grabbed the microphone had crazy bar styles and originality. So just talk to the audience about what's next.
Oh, man. I'm dropping 10 to Talk 4 next. We on a Burt and the Plugs tour right now. I'm coming to a city near you. And we're going to drop the Black Soprano Family album sometime December. You know, just building off everything that we're doing, trying to roll with the momentum of the year. So people, just watch out, man. We working. Burt and the Plugs tour coming to a city near you right now.
Excited about that. And the Buffalo Bills, Buffalo the city is known for the Bills. They're known for Griselda. And they're also known for wings. And I'm a flats only wing order. I'm only flats. That's it. So I want you to settle this controversy. Drums or flats?
Drums. I'm going drums. You gotta get the perfect dip in the blue cheese. You know, with the flat, you the side dip with the flat. You got to tear it apart the drum. You just dunk it in there.
Great point. I pour the blue cheese on. I pour it on top. That's how I get the blue cheese application. I pour it on top.
You get crafty with it. You're using the pour method. Okay.
So when we come back to Buffalo, who has the best wings? Where should people go when they come to Buffalo to get the best wings?
Benny the Butcher is going to Lenovo's, and I'm going to get the wings out the pit, and I'm going to go have some laughs with Joe Todaro. He's going to come from back out. He's going to make some jokes and everything, but I'm going to go get the wings out the pit, them charred barbecue wings with the black on them. You know what I mean? They still got black on them.
Yes. Smoke.
I love it.
Now we're talking about Buffalo food. There's something that I need you to educate me and our audience about. What exactly is beef on wick? What is beef on wick?
Beef on wick is, you know, the beef sandwich on a bun, you know, with the salt on a bun, that certain type of bread. And it comes with the Worcestershire sauce. That's what it's called?
No one knows how to say that word. No one knows how to say that word. Worcestershire. No one knows how to say it.
I had to be close. You just dip it in that sauce, and man, it's just something different. My first one was at a UB Bulls game, at a college game, and I've been loving it ever since. Everywhere I go, somewhere out of town, and I see it on a menu, I just got to try it so I can judge the beef and weck as a real Buffalonian. I come to judge the beef and weck. You know what I'm saying?
What do you think of the Tony Soprano's origin story movie, Sons of Newark?
Man, I loved it. I'm a Sopranos movie buff anyway. Sopranos, anything buff. And I loved it. I loved the way they told the story about Dickie Maldesanti. And I loved the way that, you know, it wasn't about Tony turning into a Soprano. It was about the guys that made him want to be what he became, you know what I'm saying? And I like that aspect of it. And it gave room to come back and visit another one, to make another one to show us how Tony got into life. But I loved it just watching the backstory and connecting everything and seeing Uncle Junior from the movie looking like Uncle Junior from the series. I just loved it, you know what I'm saying? I'm about to watch it again almost.
Classic.
Well, I love it.
As our senior Bills correspondent, I have a question for you that just seems so odd to me. What happened week one against the Steelers? Like, what was that?
Oh, man, I'm still trying to figure that out. It was like, man, we had some hiccups. It was the first game of the season. You know what I'm saying? And that I'm not going to lie, that loss, that hurt me. That hurt me. Mm-hmm. But I think from being a Bills fan, from what I've seen from my team, is that sometimes we got to calibrate ourselves. And nothing is wrong with that. And I've seen it. Even though we took the loss, I didn't feel bad about the season, like, oh, we a bad team, we going this. I just know, like, you know, the boys, they just need a game or two to get the kinks out, you know what I mean? Like everybody, you know, they're not perfect. They just world-class athletes, and, you know, they just got to come out and see where they at and gauge the talent and do what they do. So we back, but I don't know how that happened.
One of the coldest things I seen in Wes's store at the mall was a third-eye shirt of Josh Allen. Talk about your franchise quarterback. A guy that can do it from the pocket. He can run. He even jumped over a defender last weekend.
That was crazy. He's just an athletic guy. And when we got Josh, I went back and looked at those Wyoming videos, I'm saying, a few seasons ago. I had to check him out, and then he was looking impressive then. So I always believed in him. And he's one of those guys who got better and better every year, and who delivered what the fans ask from him, what the coach asks from him, what the team asks from him. So you really nothing too much you can say about that guy. He motivates his team. I get the word from him around the team. The players love him. He's just a stand up dude, and he's a leader, and you know, he accepts the responsibility of being who he is in Buffalo, and I love that. You know what I'm saying? So Josh, man, I got your back no matter what. I'm arguing over.
That's love.
One thing we can't let you leave without expressing is just our true appreciation for how taken care of we were in Buffalo. It seems like everywhere people were giving us rides. Every time I turn around, someone asked me if I needed something. Like, it really, really, the Griselda family took care of us. We'll never forget that. We appreciate it so much, and thank you and your family.
Have a grateful family.
Man, for real. We appreciate y'all for coming, and it was a blessing that y'all came and checked us, and we enjoyed y'all company just as much as y'all enjoy coming through, man. We got to do it again.
Oh, we're definitely going to do it again. And you're going to be back indeed on this program again because you are now the official senior Bills correspondent of Jalen Jacoby on ESPN.
The senior.
We appreciate you so much. We look forward
to
having
you. Thanks a lot, family. Love. Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
Get ready for the start of the NBA season by watching the preseason Friday, 6:30 on ESPN2. It is the Celtics traveling to Miami to take on the Heat. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. I was watching preseason last night between the Mavs and the Hornets, and the Mavs didn't just beat the Hornets. They waxed the Hornets by 68 points. Jalen, little known fact, you played in the second largest margin of victory in the history of the NBA regular season in 1998. How many did you guys win by?
That is crazy. 65 points versus the Portland Trail Blazers. And if I knew in 1998 that I could have the signature haircut in the landscape of the world, I would have never had a bald head. Look at that. I would have never had a bald head.
I don't know why you had a bald head with that hairline. But, Jalen, I was watching this game last night, and while it
was
after the whistle.
I was preserving it.
While it was after the whistle, look at this shot from Luka. Look at just the talent. Not even looking. Look how high he threw it right in. Bailey hit the rim, and afterwards he wanted the bucket, which is one of my favorite parts about it.
When buckets like that are going in, you're going to lose by at least 60. How about pregame hitting it above his shoulder and knocking it into the hoop? I'm excited to see what Jason Kidd is going to do with that team his first year as the head coach.
Impressive win for the Mavericks, but not as impressive as the Phoenix Mercury. Last night, the trident of Diggins Smith, the GOAT, Diana Taurasi, and Brittany Griner evened the WNBA Finals at a game apiece in overtime. What did you think about this performance?
You know, everything in my mind is a soundtrack. And there's a song called This Is For La Rasa. And when I see her doing work, I always say, this is for Taurasi. I've been doing it for years in my mind when I see her ball. But I'm happy for my Rock family member, Skylar Diggins, who really improved her game, improved her jump shot, her floater, got in better shape, and her right hand. You see that crossover at the top? And she finished with her right late in the game. And how about Brittany Griner, the first dunk in the history of the WNBA Finals? Shout out to Candace Parker for leading Chicago to get to the NBA Finals, but I believe the Mercury ultimately are going to be too much.
I want to thank senior Bills correspondent for Jalen and Jacoby.
The Butcher coming.
Benny the Butcher for coming through. He'll be back, and we'll be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock on ESPN2.
Black Soprano family.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content with our guests. Right now, you're going to get the full, entire, unedited Benny the Butcher interview.
The Butcher coming.
Want to thank the senior Bills correspondent, Benny the Butcher, for coming through. Now, Mr. Rose, there's a lot to discuss today in the world of sports and pop culture, but one of the things that we need to discuss is the developing story about John Gruden and his resignation and the emails. There's been a lot of reaction. One of the things that Demora Smith told our colleague Bomani Jones on The Right Time was that he wants to know, he wants to see all the emails. He wants to see all the emails, not just the few that the Times got and the Wall Street Journal got. He wants to see if there are paper trails, digital paper trails, that prove that coaches could be hired and fired based on the color of their skin. What do you think about all of the emails being released?
So I don't expect people to move like me, because I was raised by the wolves, like Big Sean said, and my upbringing obviously is going to be different from the next person, which means my value system and my ethics are going to just be different. And the reason why I say that, and it's really important, is as we acknowledge the John Gruden emails, there are two distinctions. These are professional emails to professional people, not personal emails to family and friends. The other thing I want to say is, and that's why I bring up the initial part is, the John Gruden, like, when you talk like that to somebody, that ain't the first time. Somebody has to allow you to gossip to them. in order for you to continue to hear what they have to say about somebody. Like, I'll never truly hear what people have to say that don't like David Jacoby, because I'm never going to be sitting around gossiping about him. You see where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so where John Gruden and emails, and to DeMora Smith's point, for him to feel comfortable enough to email professional people and discuss things the way he was discussing in a racist, misogynistic manner and way, that means he was comfortable with those people. And I joke and sing the Dukes of Hazzard theme song a lot, but it stuck with me when I was young. Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Like, beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. And you'll think, like, how a kid from the inner city of Detroit watching a show like the Dukes of Hazzard, or watching Archie Bunker, right? And either, what's the name of that show? All in the Family. You know why I was watching shows that I knew basically fostered racist over and undercurrents? Because I actually thought they were good TV. And you know why else I watched? To learn what people that don't look like me might actually say about me when I ain't around. And so I developed the level of discipline that taught me that if somebody doesn't like me for my sexual origin or who I choose to date or my skin color, I welcome knowing how they feel. I don't want them muzzled. I want to hear what they have to say. So now that gives me a chance to decipher if I want to rock with them or not. But I'm all for individuality. That's how the world knows who I am. Each time there was something in my career, it was because it was something new. It was something unique. It was something original. It was something that people have not done or ain't doing it the way I was doing it. That's why you guys know who I am. And if there are, you say 600,000 emails or 60,000?
650,000 emails.
And so let me get this right. If there's 600, not 600, 6,000, 600,000 emails, and we're able to get maybe, how many more released? 25?
Just bits and pieces of the John Gruden, Bruce Allen correspondence.
So what that tells me is other powerful people that John Gruden was sending these messages to echo a lot of what he said. And the apple can't fall too far from the Washington football team's tree. There's a reason why they don't even have a name right now, because they've been dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why they don't, right?
You bring up something important with the John Gruden part in particular, is the Good Old Boys Network and the environment and the culture, which was the investigation. It was the investigation into the culture of the Washington football team. And I'm assuming that John Gruden used this language in his correspondence with Mr. Allen because they had a relationship in which it was okay to use that language. You see what I'm saying? It was like, he wouldn't just fire that off to someone that he's never met before. Like, it's just a little peek into the culture that's created in the behind these closed doors, and the way that certain people talk to each other when they think no one's listening and they don't think it'll be unearthed 10 years later in an investigation. And that's a culture that's not just, I assume, I can't say for a fact, but that's a culture that's not just between these two individuals, but people in power, especially white males in power, throughout not just sports, but throughout our entire society.
And also, context is key for me. And there's going to be a period of time when we look back and we see how profound a movement like Black Lives Matter was, and you're going to attribute it as a period piece to when Breonna Taylor and George Floyd were both murdered by law enforcement. Like, that is going to be the anchor of that time period of so many people, innocent people being harassed, brutalized, and or killed by law enforcement. In 2012, I actually remember that was when Obama was running for his second term. And as somebody that played my role, a small role, and not only trying to get Barack Obama introduced to the public, I remember doing a video for Barack Obama. It's on my YouTube page. Check out Jalen TV. I went around the league, Jacoby, and I got notable players. I believe it was Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Shaquille O'Neal, all to do videos congratulating and or encouraging Barack Obama's presidential run and reelection. I was at the inauguration. I hosted a red, white, and blue ball with Larry King for Wounded Warriors. I also hosted a party with the legend Dionne Warwick. And from 2008 to 2012, there were a lot of unhappy people in this country that a black man was the president for the first time ever. They were really unhappy about it. And in 2012, when these messages were being sent, D'Amore Smith was in a position of power because he was the president of the Players Association. So he's not just dismissing the accomplishments of this brother. He also is using antiquated, tired, slave jargon to describe him. Like, the things that he said about him are the things that people said about black people when we were still saying massa, or when we were still being addressed as colored. Like, he said this man got lips the size of Michelin tires.
And then tried to explain it away without not apologizing. He could try to give an excuse before the rest of the emails were put out. He said that, well, I say that rubber lips is a term that I use for people that lie. So I was saying that he's lying. And it's like, first of all, I've never heard the term rubber lips. And even in that case, you cannot say that a black man has Michelin tire lips and act like it's not racial.
If it's taking too long to lock up, bring it back. Watch how I take this in our country from 2012 to right now. So that year, D'Amore Smith, a black man, president of the Players Association, and we know the 1,300 NFL players are one of the most powerful conglomerates in the world. When you then had a voice and some power, and you had a black president, that then led to a term that I taught people on this show what it meant, because it was a dog whistle. That term was Make America Great Again. And I remember when Donald Trump was running for president, I came on this show. You can Google it. Now the cool kids call it going viral. I distinctly said we're at a crossroads in this country so very much. And I got my ear to the street and I realized something. Players from the NBA and the NFL are not going to be going to the White House when they win the championship. There are a lot of people unhappy with me, unhappy with this show. And I got emails, I got texts, you know, I don't have to tell you, you was there. And when that happened, and then he ultimately got elected, that became a division point in our country. Let's just own what it is. There are 70 people voted for him. There are 70 plus million people voted against him. That's where we are right now. And you know where else we are right now? There are people still fixing their lips to do two things. Say they don't want to get vaccinated and saying that the election was stolen. That still happened. You know I work with more than a vote, right? And 19, David Jacoby, 19 states have already did voter suppression laws to make it tougher for people that look like me to vote. Already. 19. And you would think because more people than ever voted, we would be encouraging that. But we're trying to reverse engineer and suppress that. And so that's so very important in the context of in 2016, around so, or 17, there was a gentleman named Colin Kaepernick that took a knee before an NFL football game. And then there are a lot of people that got a chance to say what they felt about that. And I wanted to always do a distinction of, it's like the term hate. Certain buzzwords that I feel I hear a lot that are used incorrectly. Protest. There are multiple types of protest. He chose a peaceful one, a nonviolent one, a submissive one. Was ostracized, vilified, and anybody who chose to do it at any other sporting event got the same treatment. And you know the highest office in the land, when they're tweeting about it and they say he should be fired and Eric Reed should be fired, people in the NFL were listening.
John Gruden said the same thing.
Powerful people, right? And John Gruden went from the booth being the highest paid to the Raiders and being the highest paid. So these are now human beings in extreme positions of power and influence. And Mark Davis, disappointed in him. You know I've come on this show and shouted him out multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
I sat next to him at the second Tyson Fury on Deontay Wilder fight. I've said on this show multiple times how we had an open invite to go to the Raiders facility. Remember, I mentioned that to you. Like, the way I'm speaking about them, you would think I don't like them. I remember people used to do that about LeBron. Like, you hating on LeBron. I was like, I must be good at my job, because I actually love LeBron. I had drinks with him last night, as a matter of fact. But back to them. So now, at that climate, those human beings whiteballed Colin Kaepernick out of the NFL. And people like me, who continue to acknowledge that, indirectly or directly, were vilified, silenced, and or tried to be muzzled. And I bring this full forward because not only did he never play again, but the same people, and Ted Cruz was one of them, he tweeted this show. You remember that? You remember that when I said that people wasn't going to go to the White House? You remember Ted Cruz tweeted me in this show?
Yes.
Like, well, this is like 8 years ago, right? This wasn't yesterday.
I was like, we're not talking about Ted Cruz on the show, are we?
The like reason Ted why Cruz, I bring that up.
Like you? No, not now. I remember at the time just being like, you, Ted Cruz? Like you? I'm not even gonna give you the shine. I don't even want to say your name on the platform, Ted Cruz.
We didn't even beep down and we gave him the Heisman and kept it moving. And I say that to say that. I say that to say this as I have told this story so very well, like a best-selling author. This is how I wrap the book. There's a reason why Kyrie's driving a non-vaccination vehicle. And when he look in the rearview mirror, he see Donald Trump and Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you know you're wrong by the people that agree with you.
That's why the rearview mirror is vastly smaller than the windshield, because what's happening behind you clearly isn't as important as what's happening in front of you. And I watched his 19-minute video. 3-2-1, he's going to be getting vaccinated.
He's getting vaccinated. That's the one thing that I learned from the whole thing, too. He's going to be vaccinated, and he's going to be playing. He's going to be playing game 3.
But I got to teach my people something. You know, I use this platform to talk to everybody. But in particular, I want to talk to my people for a second. I hate that I have to say this in front of company, but I'm going to. Not getting vaccinated does not make you a hero.
No.
When he gets vaccinated, because by the way, you ready for this? Everyone out there, as an adult, we have to make certain sacrifices in order to take care of ourselves and take care of our families. Decisions that are bigger than us. You'd be surprised some of the things your parents did to make sure you eat. When you get a chance, ask them, hey, mom or dad, without going into too much detail, if you don't mind, can you tell me something that you probably did that you may be ashamed of in order for us to eat? Kyrie Irving not playing basketball for preseason and or whatever period of the season he's not going to play. He's still going to get paid $18 million a year. But when he returns, he's going to be celebrated like somebody that raged against the machine. That dynamic is off. You know what he should be celebrated for? All of the amazing charity work that he's done and will continue to do. Being a championship athlete. Being somebody that I've seen have one of the greatest finals performances and game-winning shots, right wing against the Golden State Warriors. Like, the best handle in the league, probably the best left-handed for a righty in the league. Like, I'll celebrate him for those things. But we can't make this a political thing or a heroic thing for those that finally choose to get vaccinated so that they can go to work.
Jalen,
and make $18 million this
season. Can I bring this full circle like a best-selling author? Because you said something way earlier that I really want to drill down on. And it was you watching the Dukes of Hazzard. And I used to watch the Dukes of Hazzard too. And then it dawned on me, wait a second. Jalen Rose one time purchased a Dukes of Hazzard General Lee vehicle. Like, you really did that, right? Like, did you? Was it a recreation? Was it the actual one? Like, you owned the actual Dukes of Hazzard car. That is some young Jalen Rose wasting his money on stupid stuff.
And by the way, walk it to the garage one day and, like, it's one thing to watch this on TV. It's another thing. I ain't about to have this Confederate flag in my garage.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, yo, it's got the Confederate flag in your building, like in your house. Big, too. Not like a bumper sticker. Like the entire roof of the car is a Confederate flag. That's just some dumb Jalen Rose, young Joe. I wish I knew that Jalen Rose. They would buy the General Lee from Dukes of Hazzard just because he could. Every six-year-old wanted the General Lee. Jalen Rose got rich and was like, I'm buying the damn car. You're paying. Ain't a Confederate flag on there, and I'm gonna put it in my garage. Now, I'm not gonna go anywhere in it because it's got the Confederate flag on it, but I'm just gonna have it. Like, I had a Matchbox General Lee when I was a kid. Jalen's like, I'm gonna get the real thing.
Oh. Real love.
And hold on. You know what? I'm not gonna ask you to go into detail, but you can't, if you're gonna say it on the pod, you're gonna say it on wax, you have to give us a little something. You had drinks with who last night? You said it.
Well, I wasn't literally talking about last night. I was talking about I got love for him, and that's my man, 50 grand type of thing. But when I cover LeBron, if I happen to say that there are two or three people that play basketball greater than him of all time, people assume that I'm hating.
No, that's just your opinion. Jalen, did the University of Michigan men's basketball team pick up a new recruit? How do you think that recruiting visit went between the head coach and this young man's family?
Hey, first off, you heard Special Ed. I shot him with the shotty, then I jetted in the jet. We're on a mission. We're on a mission. Where are we going in April?
Oh, New Orleans. Let me see. Yeah, I think it's New Orleans.
Okay. And by the way, Shout to Juwan's boss and wife. I say that with love and affection because that's family. Janine.
Well, first, you got to give the news. You got to give the news. You haven't said who the recruit is yet.
I just did. It went over your head.
No, I know. You said I was in the Jetty and the Jet. Jet Howard. Just for people don't know.
I was about to go there. Jet Howard. Okay, we keep taking the scenic route. Just ride with me. Come with me. So, again, as I mentioned, shout to Janine, the mother of Jet and Jace Howard, sons of my brother, Juwan. As Jet just officially announced that he's going to the University of Michigan, I got some breaking news about how that got done.
How'd it get done?
Juwan had to pay a bag in order for it to happen to his wife.
Illegal? You're admitting to illegal transactions at the University of Michigan men's basketball team? You're breaking that news? You're trying to tell me that your Fab Five brother paid illicit funds to the family of a recruit in order to land him on the basketball team?
He did. This cost Juwan a bag, trust me.
What? You're going to get yourself in trouble. Obviously, Jalen's joking. Jet Howard, the new recruit, is Juwan's son. So if something tells me the recruiting visit was brief, but congratulations to them. Really look forward to visiting them at the NCAA Final Four in the Superdome. In the Superdome. And I'm going to go
ready
there.
For this?
I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Michigan once played a Final Four in the Superdome. We were there.
No. Who was it? What team was that? Is that the Fab Five team?
You heard Lloyd Banks. I ain't from Michigan, but I'm in the Fab Five. Yayo 50. Bucking Game. You know my freaking name. Yes. And you know who else is going to be there? Memphis. They'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Memphis will be there. Well, Michigan will be there.
Let's get some hotel rooms booked up now, because I don't want to share a hotel room with you again like we did in Buffalo.
You know what we decided off wax? I got to tell y'all something.
What?
Especially when we're in New York City. This is one of, like, you know, find people that complete you, right? And I was thinking about something. Wherever we're going in New York City, I never know where we're at. It's just my job to get us in once Jacoby gets us there.
Yeah, I get us there, you get us in. That's the combination, you know? I get us there, you get us in. Hey, because Jalen wants to Uber everywhere. Like, Jalen understands that Uber sometimes is the least efficient way to get from A to B in New York City. Like, I'll get a city bike, I'll get on this train.
Yeah.
But Jalen just wants to Uber everywhere.
He don't have any old bikes.
Yeah, that's how you get around the city. There's certain cross-town moves and midtown moves that you don't want to make in a car. You're just going to be sitting there. But then I also realized that Jalen likes to take Ubers no matter how long it's going to take. That's his nap time. Can't nap on a bike. Can't nap on a train. Jalen, just take everybody behind the curtain. Jalen also has an alias with his Uber account. So I'll get in the car sometimes before him and they'll like say some name. And I'm just like, nah, I guess it's the wrong car. And then I'll get out the car. And then Jalen will be like, how come you're not in the car? I'll be like, oh, it's not ours. He's like, yeah, it is. And then he gets in and says some code name.
Yeah, I switch
which
it
I'm
up.
Not going to repeat.
I switch it up.
Yeah, now I know the code name. We always want to hear from you. Leave us voicemails. We only got time for one voicemail today. Our voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. 985-80. Jalen leaves a voicemail. We'll put on the show just like this.
What up, though? Shout out, Reg. Shout out, Jalen Jacoby. This is Brandon out in the 913 in Kansas. Just wanted to ask a question. So me and my buddy pull up to the strip club last Friday. But before we walk in the strip club, he wants to inform me that he's broke. So, what would you do in that situation, Jalen? Would you keep going and go inside? or would you come up with another plan because your boy is broke? Keep giving the people what they want. Again, shout out Reg. I appreciate y'all. All right.
This is a quandary. Jalen Rose, retired.
What up, though?
Retired from the gentleman's club scene, but not after some time served. So you got to think back to non-famous millionaire Jalen Rose. Okay, think back to that Jalen Rose, regular civilian Jalen Rose.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Going up to strip club with the homeboy. Right before you get in, homeboy says, just so you know, I'm broke. You've got a few options. Detail the options, there's one in which one you would take.
So, my executive assistant, Michelle, hates these topics as much as you hate Reg when he plays the fart on the show. But we got to give people what they want. Thank you for the call. Appreciate the support. In all honesty, here's what you do. I've been the broke friend. And I've been the rich friend. But I need to talk to y'all about y'all friendship first and foremost. Because y'all got to communicate better.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, the plan is to go to the strip club. You can't even tell a last-minute revelation.
I need to really talk to y'all about something. The enthusiasm that the Bills Mafia have before football games, that's the level of enthusiasm I used to have on days I knew I was going to a strip club. Same enthusiasm. So you got to plan this. And a part of the plan revolves around what you're going to eat and drink during that day and getting some money. And of course, if you don't have money, you share money with your boy and get in the spot and go and have a good time if you can. And don't make him pay it back to you, because that's your guy. That's how I will handle it. But communicate in the future.
Communication is what's most important. And just because I love your executive assistant, Michelle, so much, we're going to wrap the show here before I get in trouble with her. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.